there's something special and something magical that takes time to figure out, like, what your home is to you, like how you get re-energized, how you get refocused. You're worried when you have kids that that's going to change. Like, you're not going to create and cultivate this atmosphere of like recharge at home. We've created these businesses because it was a need for us and we didn't like lose our identity. We added our son to it.
The Entrepreneurista Podcast Network presents Startups in Stilettos, your guide to getting your business off the ground. We're your hosts. I'm Jessica Abo, media trainer and journalist. And I'm Stephanie Carton, co-founder of Entrepreneurista, Socialfly, and Market. Each week, we'll talk to a new startup founder about how they turned their great idea into a business.
And then Stephanie and I will answer their questions about taking that business to the next level.
Get ready to grow your business and put your best heel forward.
Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're talking with Tracy Nicodemo. She is the founder of Little Creatives, sets of large soft building blocks that can be pulled apart to play and then attached back together to form modern furniture. Tracy, we're so excited to talk with you today.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be on here.
So what were you doing in your life when you came up with this aha moment for this company?
Well, I had a 9-month-old, so I was very busy. And honestly, it came out of a need. So at the time, he was 9 months old. And if I know you are parents as well, so you know in that range, right, you're going through so much stuff. You use a pack and play for 3 months, you put it into storage. You use a bouncer for 3 months and you put it into storage. As I was searching for play furniture, his play area is in between our kitchen and our living room. So I wanted it to be multifunctional. I wanted not to like lose our identity of our home. And I wanted to have it for a long time. I didn't want to invest in something and only use it for 2 years and it just wasn't the quality and I'd have to toss it or give it to someone else or put it in storage. And I just was searching and searching and searching. Little did I know I was doing 2 months of my own customer research and I just couldn't find it. And luckily at that point, then I started sketching, ironically, not as a way to create something, as a way to be like, okay, well, what do I want it to look like? Because then maybe I can Google that better and then maybe I'll find the product, right?
The 2 month Google search.
Right. I was like, what could this possibly look like? And I just couldn't find it out there. And then luckily I have a background in interiors and fashion. And then through playing and through sketching, more sketching and designing and prototyping, then it kind of all fell into place. But yeah, it really just started out of a need.
What was the first step you took when you decided, okay, I'm going to be the one to actually turn this idea into a business?
A lot of testing. The interesting thing about Little Creatives Play Sofa specifically is that longevity is key, right? Our sofa is actually proportioned for parents to sit on. Nothing else exists like that in the market. It's meant for middle schoolers to have, and it's their slumber party cushion. So it's their sleepover cushion. And it's meant to be pulled apart, and the blocks are so durable that, you know, adults can sit on them and people can build on them. So it was just a ton of testing to get the not only the proportions right, like, for example, a two-year-old has to be able to lift it, but also just a lot of testing to make sure, like, it's the right type of foam. Like, is the foam going to hold up? How sturdy does the foam have to be? But also, how light does it have to be for someone to hold it? So a ton of picking other people's brains, a lot of asking questions, and thank goodness I have a lot of nieces and nephews that like playing. So a lot of different testing on all realms.
And how did you even find the places that were going to help you manufacture this?
That was one of the hardest things. So like I mentioned, I designed for Abercrombie & Fitch and did production and vendor negotiations for Express. So luckily, I already had some connections, particularly with factories and people who own factories. So I reached out to them as a starting point. And luckily, one of the people that I used to get coffee with all the time, their factory was open to trying slipcovers. So that's how that happened. The foam was a lot harder. I have zero connections with, you know, the foam industry. So it literally was Googling and finding out who do I even use as a resource to find other manufacturers. So I Googled and found Thomas Nett is a great resource for entrepreneurs who are looking to like get into manufacturing. And then from Thomas Nett, you can create a free account and you can like, I just typed in foam manufacturers and contacted like 20 different people and was like, what kind of foam? How much would this be? How much would this be? Can you send me samples? So it was just like continuing to go, right? At one point, someone said, like, well, I don't think that that's going to be really expensive. And I was like, there has to be a way, right? There has to be a way. I know that this product, like, is needed just because I needed it. And then talking to so many other people, I did a lot of research with the University of Akron, their research foundation, to like ask questions and to learn, like, what does the customer need? What are people looking for when they're going to buy something? And it made sense, but a lot of the answers got back were what I was working with, like what my friends were saying. But it was good to hear that from people that weren't related to me, that had zero interest in, you know, our product, anything like that. So it really was just the power of go, right? The power of do. You make your to-do list and you keep going and keep going.
Did you create a business plan or did you just start and figure everything out as you've gone along?
No, I definitely created a business plan. So right when I started and before I got onto Entreprenista, I would recommend for any small business owners. So I reached out to the Small Business Development Center. I'm not sure if they have that where all of you are, but it's state-funded money and it helps you. Essentially, like, they help me have deadlines and create my own business plan, which is so key when you're like, I'm a solo entrepreneur. Like, it's hard to keep going every day when you're like, oh, I can push that to tomorrow. But if you're having a meeting with someone, then it holds you accountable, right? Then you say like, okay, well, I'm meeting with Bob, I don't want to let Bob down. So I need to make sure that I have this business plan that we said was due tomorrow is due tomorrow. So different meetings like that. And then talking through like fellow people of, I'm from Ohio, so of Northeast Ohio, and finding, like I mentioned, the University of Akron has like a research foundation. And then also through that program that like I applied and got into, like they set deadlines of business plans and XYZ different grant opportunities. So really just absorbing all you can, you know, and everyone, no matter like how big or little, everyone has something that they can, you can pick someone's brain on.
And where are your products available now?
So right now they're available on our website, so shoplittlecreatives.com, and then they're also available on the TOTS website.
And Tracy, we connected through one of our fellow Entreprenista League members, Jill Apgar, who is also one of our first members who is on this podcast and a founding member of the Entreprenista League. So she introduced us and we had a call. I think it was right before you launched. It was when you were about to start your Kickstarter campaign and then you joined the league. And so much has happened over the past year since that first call that we had. What would you say has been the most helpful for you in terms of being part of the league and really having this community to help support you with the launch of your business?
I'd say just like knowing that you're part of a community and part of a bigger thing. I also think it's super helpful. Obviously, everyone's busy during the day. Not everyone's going to be able to go to every single amazing like slide deck or meeting that you have. So being able to watch those on replay has been so amazing for me. So when you have a spare hour, I remember there was one PR, how to pitch yourself, which tied into this as well. And I remember being like, oh my God, this is what I've been looking for. This is great information on how to pitch myself. I've been doing this all wrong. I need to start off like this instead of starting off like this. So having that, obviously it's great if you can like actually hop onto the live meeting, but everyone's so busy as entrepreneurs, it's nice to be able to like have like in your resource to hop on and be like, okay, I need to learn a little bit more about this. Like what is possible? I think like that is a great opportunity that it's, you know, it's unheard of. Like you can just hop on and be like, okay, what can I learn about X, Y, and Z?
And what has surprised you about yourself in the past year when it comes to running this business and getting it off the ground and how you've handled hard days or the wins or anything in between?
It's funny when you're in the moment, you don't think it's surprising, right? Because you don't have time to take it in. But when I look back to this actually legally started in November 19th, 2020, when I look back and I'm like, how did I have the faith at that moment to just start this company? Like those are the moments where you're like, I remember like having this gut feeling like this is it. This is what I'm meant to do. Like this is why everything has led me to this path. And then you look back a year later and you're like, wow, that took some guts to kind of just do that. But in the moment, you don't think about it, right? It just seems like a normal thing to do. And I'm sure I'm going to have those looking back moments as well, which are fun. To be like, wow, I didn't take no for an answer. I kept pushing, especially, you know, with little ones. Not only am I an entrepreneur, I'm a mom and a wife. So like, for example, this past week, everyone got sick. So what are you going to do? You have to keep going. Like, it's not like you can just stop, unfortunately, and be like, oh, can I have a sick day, please? So, you know, you find time, you juggle, and you obviously some days you work more than others. But I think looking back and being like, I made it through that, it's great. And just speaking to entrepreneurs, so just having someone there, and it's nice when you get those emails like, oh, does anyone know anything about this? Anyone know about anything about this? Because there's so much we can all learn from each other, right? It's been really incredible. I would say like that's the one thing though, that looking back, you get moments of like awe, even obviously between other people, but moments of awe, even with yourself, that you're like, wow, I can't believe I did that.
Well, speaking of learning from each other, are there any business tools or solutions that you've used in your business that have really helped you, especially with the launch, that you would recommend to other entrepreneuristas?
Yeah, definitely. So definitely the Small Business Development Center, that has been huge for me. Obviously, everyone's, you know, involved in Entrepreneurista that's on Entrepreneurista. I would say setting different dates, so most specifically, different dates to hold yourself accountable. For me personally, it sounds kind of weird, but like in an ideal world, when I have my best days, right? You think back of like what worked for you in those days. It's been like getting up, setting my overall to-do list for the week, and then you do your daily to-do list, break down your time and meditate. That's been like the best thing that like keeps me on track. Cause like there's moments during the day, if I'm watching my son, that I know I can't be working during that time, which is fine. But like for me mentally, the know like this time I'm not supposed to be working, it makes my mind so much more clear, because then I'm not trying to work when I know I can't work. I physically can't work for the next 2 hours. Like I'm in mom mode, but it's nice to know that I'm not supposed to be working during that time, if that makes any sense. So I feel like being able to like figure out what works with you schedule wise. Another little like schedule tidbit, which obviously didn't go as great this week with everyone in my family being sick, but finding ways to hold yourself accountable. So one of my good friends in Northeast Ohio, who owns her own business as well, we both were talking about one day, like we both have a hard time getting out of bed in the morning. Like once we're up, we're fine, but like it's hard to get out of bed sometimes in the morning. So what do? Now we have a 5:40 Zoom call Monday through Friday. Get us out of bed. We have a Zoom call with each other for 5 minutes just to like get us out of bed. And then it's like at least I have an hour in the morning that I can get some work done before my son's up. So just finding ways, silly ways, but that work for you. I feel like that's been the most helpful, and hopefully that'll help other people. And I'm all ears if anyone has like tidbits that have worked for them. But like those little tricks, like to help your routine, it's so crazy, but it makes a huge difference.
People can't see us, but Jess and I are both laughing and both of our eyes like popped open like, oh my God, 5:40 in the morning, even though I'm basically up then because Molly's up at 6:00. But it's like, I don't know if I want to see anyone on a Zoom call at 5:40 in the morning, but you find what works for you and you do it. And I think that tip could potentially help someone else. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Well, we're not looking pretty. We're in our PJs, but...
I just have to tell you, I have been at this as a journalist for 20 plus years. I have asked a lot of people if they have any advice. I have never heard such specific, amazing, crazy advice, but wow, that is so smart. I love it. I love that so much. I mean, wow, you and your friend, that is friendship and dedication and entrepreneurship all rolled into one. I mean, if a 5:40 Zoom call to get you out of bed isn't, you know, like the biggest sign of what it looks like to be an entrepreneur, I don't know what is.
Want a chance to be on the show? We're currently accepting applications from our Entrepreneurista League members to be featured on Startups and Stilettos. Think of the Entrepreneurista League as your team members in what can be a lonely startup founder's journey. As startup founders, we may not get the luxury of a huge team from day one, but with the League community, you have a built-in support system. It's been proven that the only way you can build a successful startup is with a strong community. If you find yourself in need of that community, there's a place for you in the Entrepreneurista League. Our members are networking, doing business together, and forming real and meaningful connections. Head over to entrepreneurista.com/join to learn more. That's entrepreneurista.com/join. I can't wait to meet you and help you navigate your business journey.
So you have clearly given us like the tip of a lifetime of how to get yourself motivated in the morning. Is there anything that you want to ask Steph or me that we can help address at this moment for your business?
Yes, absolutely. I actually have questions for both of you, but I guess I'll start with Steph. So you are incredible, obviously, at building a community and finding like what speaks to others. As little creatives, it's a very small company right now. So I feel like our biggest struggle is like building that community and learning how to build it and to leverage ourselves. So people, like, obviously if they don't know who we are, there's no way that we can help anyone, right? There's no way that they would even like find us to buy us or even like find us to just to get inspired or, you know, for new tips and tricks. So I feel like that's been the hardest thing to kind of do. So I didn't know if you had any tidbits or advice on that and even like the daily navigating of it all.
I definitely have tips on building a community, and especially when it comes to social media or using other community platforms. Of course, with the Entrepreneurista League, we use a software platform called Circle, which is a platform where you can create your community on that platform and you essentially own that community instead of like on Facebook. If you make a Facebook group, you don't own that community. It's the Facebook algorithm that determines it. So the first thing I would think about is if you want to build a community, who is your audience and what type of content and information is important to them that you can share with them and add value? So maybe it's creating a community around creative ideas in general for kids where like you're not just, you know, plugging your product every day, but like you're sharing different arts and crafts projects or different things that bring creativity to children and ideas for parents and what they can do. So like coming up with an idea of, okay, can I create this community around a central topic that will bring parents who are decision makers for the products they buy for their children to one place? And then you can weave in your product, but finding a way to provide that value and bring it under one roof.
Would you suggest keeping those with like blogs and emails, or how would you suggest, I guess, starting it off?
I think it depends. As a startup business, obviously resources can be very limited and spreading yourself too thin across, you know, all of the different social platforms and also managing a blog and emails, like it can be a lot. So I would think about starting with one place where you really want to build that audience and community and getting everyone to that one place. And then you can repurpose that content other places as well. But if you're trying to build a community across like every single social channel, email list, everything, it can be a lot, especially when you're first launching. So I would think about picking one channel and then going from there. And I'm hosting office hours next week. So if you want to come to my office hours to brainstorm, we can definitely do that.
So Jess, I guess like my question for you. So one, like how do you know when it's time to hire PR? And then also along with that, how do you find the right person, not only for you, like personality wise, but then like also knowing what's best for your product and like for them in the market and all of that? Like, luckily I've been decently lucky just like with cold emails and whatnot, but obviously like there's going to be in a point hopefully soon that like we have the budget to hire someone in PR. And I just was wondering like how to navigate that. If you have any, you know, tips with that.
So the first thing I would say is when you get to a point where you really don't have the time to be sending out those emails and then the follow-up emails, and you don't have the time to be looking at different outlets and the people who are covering your industry to follow them and engage with them on social media, when you just don't have that kind of time, it's a really good time to bring in a publicist or someone who's going to be running corporate communications and internal PR for your brand. The other thing too is you want to make sure that you can afford it, which it sounds like you can because you have a budget for PR. Sometimes people make the mistake where they spend all their money up front because a publicist promises them so much, and then they run out of money for PR and they don't have anything to show for it. So you want to find someone who's a fit for your personality and a fit for your budget. In terms of your personality, you might be someone who likes to get a report every week. Your publicist might be the kind of publicist who gives you a report every month. So you want to make sure that you are on the same page in terms of what your goals are and what's realistic. I think sometimes people sign up for PR, they think that they're going to get on a network show within a week, and maybe that is going to happen for you. Who knows? You might just get really lucky in your timing. But for the most part, it takes time to build relationships with reporters. It takes time for them to understand your product. It takes time for them to understand what is the angle of your piece and when is it timely and when should it run. So those are some of the things that you can be asking yourself. But it sounds like you really are at a point where you're ready for a publicist and you can afford a publicist, and that's wonderful. You just want to make sure that whoever you work with, they understand where you want to appear. Because if your goal is to be featured in, let's say, Refinery 29, and they get you a feature in something else, you might be disappointed and they might think it's a win. So you just want to have a really upfront conversation when you get started with where would it be meaningful for you to appear and what do those press hits look like and how long might they take to happen?
So if you are sending out cold emails and obviously like you follow up, how often should you be following up with the same person? Say, for example, I sent someone something in November when we did the Kickstarter. Is that something like, I followed up a few times then, how often should you be sending to the same person? Or if you haven't heard from them, should you like migrate to a new, you know what I mean, a new person? Or what's the protocol on that? What would you recommend?
What was the relationship with them back in November? Did they ever write anything about you? Did you actually get someplace? Or was it just you made initial contact, they wrote thank you, and that was it?
Because I reached out to so many people. So some people like, yes, I did get a story that was very nice. And then other people, it's like, I haven't heard anything.
People have lots of different philosophies about this. Some people say send an email every few days. I really appreciate when people give me at least a week before responding. But then again, I'm not in a newsroom where I'm turning over stories every single day anymore. I am at entrepreneur.com where I contribute pieces once a week. So I only have one day of the week to work with, unlike reporters who are filing 24 hours a day. So I think you have to look at who you're pitching and where they work and what their turnout rate is to see, okay, well, if it's a freelancer, you don't want to harass them maybe as much as you would, you know, contact someone who is at this all day, every day. And after you give them a week, you can always add in a timestamp, like, thank you so much for considering this pitch. If I don't hear back from you by the end of the month, I will assume it's a no-go for now, and I will reach out to you another time. Or I am going to wait until the 15th or the 16th, and then I'm going to go in another direction. I think if you timestamp it, sometimes people understand that you're going to take the story elsewhere. But I think you also have to be thinking about what is the actual story and where does it fit and how much time does a reporter need to prepare that story? Because if you pitch someone to be in a gift guide in November, you might be already too late given that their gift guides come out for the holidays around Thanksgiving and early December. So just think about what is the story? Why are you pitching? Why are you pitching at that specific outlet? And what do you think is the appropriate time to give that person before reaching back out? And does a timestamp make sense?
No, that's perfect. Thank you so much.
You got it.
Tracy, do you have a dream business connection that's part of the league?
I love Lauren from Oddwell. She is just amazing. I think just like aesthetic-wise, we very much connect. I've met with her a few times, maybe one time. But I think we both have something connected just aesthetic-wise for furniture. Obviously, hers are, you know, hard goods and ours are soft goods. But yeah, she is incredible. And I think we both kind of speak to what I would say is like cultivating this atmosphere of home. Even if you don't have kids, like there's something special and something magical that takes time to figure out like what your home is to you, like how you get re-energized, how you get, you know, refocus, like where do you want to like spend time at night and what makes you happy? And I think both of us, just from talking, you know, you're worried when you have kids that that's going to change. Like you're not going to create and cultivate this atmosphere of like recharge at home if you're surrounded by XYZ light up toys. So Lauren and I, especially, and I don't want to speak for her, but I feel like we've really, you know, created these businesses because it was a need for us. And I still want our home and my husband, and I think my son feels more relaxed in our home because it's still a place that cultivates, you know, a recharge for everyone. So we didn't like lose our identity. We added our son to it.
Tracy, thank you so much for being here, sharing your incredible startup story and all of your amazing learning lessons. Jess, I might start calling you at 5:40 in the morning, but that's 2:40 a.m. your time. So I don't know if it's going to work.
I will always take your call. I will always log on to Zoom to see that beautiful face of yours. No problem.
Tracy, where can everyone find you and follow you? And of course, if they want to purchase Little Creatives, where can they do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So shoplittlecreatives.com is our website. Also Shop Little Creatives on Instagram and then Facebook. And then you can also find us at the Tot.
Wonderful. Awesome. Thank you again for being here. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jessica. We're here to help you
put your best heel forward. You've been listening to Startups and Stilettos, the show that highlights your peers in the startup world and meets you where you are to get you through your biggest challenges and towards your biggest goals. For additional episodes, extra content, show notes, and more, visit startupsandstilettos.com. Did you love this episode?
leave us a review and send us a screenshot via Instagram DM at Entrepreneistas, and you can enter to win a one-on-one mentor and strategy session with me. We're drawing a new winner every month, and I cannot wait to meet you.